I'm Joe Wood, and I believe.
November 7, 2006. One of the most widely reported UFO sightings to date takes place at Chicago's O'Hare Airport. It's an overcast day. About 4:30 at the United Airlines terminal that afternoon, several pilots, mechanics, and ground crew notice a metallic disc approximately 80 feet wide, hovering 1,500 feet over gate C-17. An incoming pilot radios he too sees the object. So do several pilots waiting to taxi to the runway. After 15 minutes, the disc suddenly shoots up, leaving a disc-shaped hole in the dense cloud, and disappears in less than a second. United Airlines staff at the terminal refused to speak publicly, probably for job security reasons. But one, insisting on anonymity, says, "With my extensive knowledge of modern aviation technologies, I know this UFO probably wasn't created on this planet."
Welcome to Alien Nation, the ongoing series about extraterrestrials and UFOs, which asks the question, are we alone? I'll be talking to celebrities and everyday people who also believe and have their own incredible stories to share. We'll talk about well-documented cases, we'll examine the theories and the counter-theories, but mostly we'll just share our own personal experiences together. So get in touch with your own stories. I'll tell you how to do that at the end of the show. My guest today is known as a consciousness architect and is an international therapist. She is the author of over 40 books and was voted one of the top 5 psychics in America. And as you were here, she has a lot of experience with UFOs and aliens. Welcome to Alien Nation, Janine Regan St. Clair.
Thanks for having me, Jo.
Yeah, you've had a lot of experience here with UFOs, haven't you, and ETs. So let's start at the beginning. When did you first see a UFO?
Well, I used to see the little people when I was a little girl. And then when I went to secondary school when I was 11, I thought this is too weird to be sharing. You know, all the other girls were into My Guy magazine and that kind of stuff.
So you used to just see them sort of around?
Yeah.
And nobody else could see them?
No. I had a friend at school who could see ghosts, so I used to talk to her. But my first real ET experience came in my late 30s when I'd gone from being in architecture to studying the healing arts and hypnotherapy, counselling, psychology, but spiritual healing as well in a big way. Yeah. And I was reading a book called The Pleiadian Workbook, and it's talked about some amazing stuff like quantum configuration chambers and all this other stuff that you can do to raise your consciousness. So it was about 1:30 in the morning and I was sitting up in bed reading this book. And then all of a sudden I became aware of this kind of green haze at the bottom left of my bed. I just, like, you know, all the hairs of my body stood up and I thought, something going on here. And I've always been told, you know, don't look directly, kind of look out of the side of your eye and you get better visions. And basically, it was the stereotypical little green man that Robbie said he hadn't seen. When I listened to Robbie's show, he's so funny.
He's great, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's great. And it just looked like, you know, the ones you see with the big head, big black eyes, little chin and skinny little body.
Yeah.
And it was about 3 foot high and it was about 3 or 4 feet off the ground, and it was just hovering there. Now, that's what Pleiadians look like, apparently. So I was super excited about it at the time because, like you, I'd always wanted to see them. Mm. And basically, I just looked up from my book and said, "Hi." And he just waved at me, just his little hand up, and he just waved at me. And I wasn't scared because the energy coming from it was absolutely gorgeous. It was really friendly, super friendly. And then two more appeared at the bottom of the bed. They kind of must have just come to check me out. And a blue one appeared then, and I think the other one was purple. But I'm going back probably 13, 14 years ago, so... So that was the very first time.
Oh, my God, how fascinating. How fantastic.
It was. It was brilliant. And then, of course, I got into it and I just kind of put it out there. You know, if there is anyone out there that wants to communicate with me, I'm not frightened of you. You're welcome to come and see me. And it went from there, really. The next big one was a few years later. I'm trying to think now. It would have been about 10 years ago when I was working at the Hale Clinic in London.
Oh, I know the Hale Clinic, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I worked there for a year and then I moved to Harley Street, and I'm still, you know, still linked to Harley Street now, 9 years later. Yeah. And there was a guy that called me who said he'd been having some problems and he'd found a magazine. Now, this journalist had written an article, a two-page article about me finding stuff in people's auras in their energy field.
Yeah.
And there was this woman, this sounds a bit crazy as well, but there was this woman who was having problems with her sex life, and she came to me as a client and said, I'm sure there's something, you know, blocking me there. And I could see a chastity belt from a past life in her energy field.
Oh, so, I've heard about things like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I sorted that out for her anyway. She came and had a session with me. And then I met this other woman who's a journalist. She said, can I write an article about it? And I said, sure. So she did a double page spread years ago. And this guy phoned me up out of the blue. He was an African guy who lived in London. And he said, I've been having problems. He said, I was walking home from church one day and I sat down in the park on a bench underneath a tree, and all of a sudden I heard this kind of woo-woo-woo noise, and something went into his head and his vision went all blurry, and he said he made his way home, and as he was looking, it was like grey clouds were all around him. Anyway, he didn't feel right and he went to bed, he told me, and then within a couple of days his head started to bleed.
Really?
His scalp. So the only way he could stop it was by shaving all his hair off. So he shaved all his hair off. He went to the doctor. They couldn't help him. He went to his priest at his local church and said, there's something inside me. I need help. They couldn't help him. This guy ended up being off work for 4 years.
Oh, my God.
Because of this. And he said he was in somebody's house and he picked up a magazine and opened it, and it was my face on this article, this crazy article. So he thought, if you believe in, you know, things from the past, you might be able to help me because you've obviously got an open mind. So I said, yeah, I'm pretty sure I can help you. But at the time I was working at the Hale Clinic and it wouldn't have gone down well to bring him there. So I actually told him to get the train up to Warwick, to where I lived, and I picked him up from the station and brought him to my house.
Yeah.
And my son was there. He was about 16 probably at the time. Yeah. And I said to him, look, son, I've got a client and I want you to stay in your bedroom. No matter what you hear, just stay in your bedroom, play on your computer, whatever, but don't come out. And he goes, all right, Mum, you know what kids are like, whatever.
Yeah. They don't mind being in their bedroom for hours.
Yeah. So anyway, this guy, I lay him, normally I've got one of those beautiful like massage couches, you know, and I'd lie people on that and play some nice music in the background, you know, back in the day. And this particular day I thought, no, I'm not going to put my couch up. So I just lay him on my ordinary sofa, which was pretty low down. And we had a chat, told me what was going on again, and I decided, like, let's just get on with it. So he was lying down. I started doing the healing that I normally do, and within 30 seconds he started writhing around on the sofa. I started frothing at the mouth. I was like, oh my God, what have I let myself in for here?
You were taking something out of him, weren't you?
Yeah, yeah. So he fell off the sofa onto the floor. Thank God it was a low sofa, so he didn't hurt himself. And I just thought, right. At the time, I knew he was a Christian, so I asked Jesus to come and help. Mm. And I put my hands on the top of his thighs, and I was just saying, you need to get out of this man, you know, and for, like, channeling light through and into his body to try and push this thing out. Well, something jumped out of him, and it looked like it was probably about 5 foot tall. Have you ever seen the Alien and Predator movie? You know the alien when it's transparent like water?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it looked like. What it looked like. And it ran across my living room and out, down the stairs and out of the front door. So I picked the guy up off the floor, helped him back on the sofa. Obviously, he was a bit in shock. We both were, to be honest. And I said, "Are you okay?" And he said, "Yeah, I'm okay, but there's another one." And we looked, he pointed to his thigh, and we looked down at his thigh, and from underneath his trousers was a handprint pushing out like something from a movie. I'm not kidding you.
Oh, God, how amazing. How scary.
To be honest, it was one of those when I thought, I wish I'd brought him, one of my friends, to work with me. But I thought, dealt with one, can deal with another. And I've always been told the universe never sends you anything you can't deal with. So, you know, my confidence had gone up a little bit by then. Yeah. I mean, these days it wouldn't bother me at all. You know, I've dealt with a lot of things, but, you know, I've only been doing this 16 years. That was probably 10, 12 years ago. So,
yeah,
a lot more experience now. So we got him on the floor anyway and said, "Well, we've got one out, so don't worry, we can do the second one." So the same thing, basically. I put my hands on him and just channeled the light through, and I could really feel this divine presence helping me. You know, I felt really calm, really safe. And I just said to it, you know, "You've got to leave this man. You're scaring him. You shouldn't be here." And another one jumped out. But my feeling then that I definitely felt they were extraterrestrial. Not very old, you know, they were like teenagers. And I think basically they were scared as well. And that's what was making his body so anxious. I just got a feeling that they were lost and scared.
So they hid within his body?
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder where they went to after that.
I don't know. They just went out my front door and I left them to it. But, you know, I got the guy up, made him a cup of tea. He said he was okay, took him back to the train station. He went on the train and that was it. I never seen him again.
So he was absolutely perfect.
Fine. Yeah, he was fine.
So do you think that these aliens that you've seen come from one planet, or have you seen various aliens, different ones?
Lots of different ones. Lots and lots of different ones. There's a great book out there that I read years ago called the Urantia book, and it talks about billions of different types of alien life form out in the universes and multiverses, which they know about these days. And you've got to understand, the human consciousness is multidimensional and it goes to infinity. So basically everything, you know, we experience and what we've inherited from our ancestors, they say we inherit 1 to the power of 18 zeros imprints, belief systems and experiences from our ancestors down through our consciousness and our DNA. So all that stuff's in there. So basically what we experience around us is a projection of what we've got within our consciousness.
Yeah.
And if you think about all the movies and stuff, I'm really careful what I watch now, because I realise it's being programmed into my subconscious, so I don't watch scary movies anymore.
No, I don't watch scary movies. I only want to watch things that have humour in it, or things about aliens, UFOs.
Yeah.
I only want to watch things that, make me better, make me feel good, make me intrigued, you know, all that sort of thing. But,
have you seen the movie Paul? That's funny.
I haven't, but people keep saying to me I should see that movie.
It's hilarious. It's definitely worth watching.
you've also worked with post-traumatic stress disorder and help people that have had close encounters, haven't you? I mean, you know,
paranormal encounters. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Years ago. I used to be a member of the Academy of Clinical Close Encounters Therapists. I think it's closed down now. But I met a Marine in the United States about 5 years ago, and he was in a really bad way with PTSD, and he'd said to the Iraqis that he'd killed when he was in Iraq, when he was deployed, had actually... their ghosts had followed him home and were in his basement in his house in New York.
Really?
And
why do you think that happens to some people and not to others?
Well, I think everyone is clairvoyant. We're born clairvoyant up until the age of about 7, and that's when adults start spoiling it for us and saying, no, that, you know, you can't really see these little people and so on. And it's just a matter of whether you're tuned in. It's like tuning your radio into a different frequency.
Yeah.
But I think everybody's capable, definitely. Yeah.
So this guy tuned himself into the spirits of those that he'd killed.
Yeah, and they were in his basement. They'd followed him home or in his basement. So when he had a session with me, I did a lot of work with him and helped them move over.
Yeah.
And you know, pass over. So it was him that led me to make these self-help audios for PTSD and various other things. So that's my area of expertise, really.
Yeah.
But I had another great experience once. Have you seen the movie Batteries Not Included?
Yes, years ago.
Yeah, I think it was made in 1987 or something like
God.
That. It's a brilliant, I love that movie.
Yeah.
And I was lying on my sofa one night and I was really chilled out, and three little UFOs, just like in that movie, came flying into my window and were flying around my living room.
My God, that must have been great.
I loved it. I'm not scared of them. And it was like, wow. And I was just, they were there for a while and I was just watching them whizzing around, different colours. And like lights coming from them, but they were only tiny, like 3 or 4 inches across.
Oh, wow.
I wasn't dreaming. I was wide awake at the time. I was just in that relaxed state. When you're relaxed, you drop into theta brainwave frequency as well.
Yeah.
And that's like, meditation kind of frequency.
Yeah, I think it's funny because the people I've talked to that have had experiences, one thing we all have in common is they have no fear. They're not afraid of UFOs and aliens and anything like that. I haven't really talked to anybody that's been afraid. I think, I'm trying to work that one out.
Well, I think some of us probably not from this planet anyway, so it's normal for us. We're seeing our relatives or something like that.
Yeah.
You never know. I've always felt that I, not from this world. I'm from another one.
Yeah, I've always thought I may have been born here, but I feel like there's something else, that I came from somewhere else. I have these sort of things. I saw a little bit of video of these... it must have been, obviously, UFOs flying in space. This is a few years ago. And I thought, gosh, I'm sure I've been there. I'm sure I've been on one of those ships.
Yeah, just, probably have.
Yeah. So, it's very interesting, all this. I'm absolutely fascinated with everybody's story.
Well, I listened to Dan's show on your podcast, and he was talking about only 60% of people believe. I'm surprised that 40% of people are still asleep. What's going on? You know, it's obvious. There's so much stuff on YouTube now and military coming out, telling about stuff that's going on in Area 51. My ex-partner was military, and he told me there's stuff there, So that just confirmed it for me. And, people that have gone through these alien abductions and being experimented on and stuff like that, I think that's down to stuff in like past lives and when I say past lives, I mean stuff that's inherited, and because everything's in the now, really. There's no such thing as past and future. It's all the quantum field. But yeah. I think they've given them permission on some level, to use them as, I don't know, whatever, spying machines or something.
I think now we've got to a point where there's so much information out there. More and more people are open-minded, more than ever. I think people aren't so religious anymore. And I think they realise the bigger picture of the world is, the universe is so vast.
Yeah. Yeah, well, when I used to have my show, I interviewed a guy called Amit Goswami, and he's a quantum physicist. And he tells his story about when he was a Hindu, and he used to talk to people about God and this, that, and the other, and said no one really took any notice. until he changed the word God to the quantum field, and now he's a best-selling author.
Is that a fact? Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, yeah, because people are, you need to change the language now. Unfortunately, people would rather call God the universe or the infinite being or grace
higher
or the divine.
Power.
Yeah, they just don't like the word God because religion, you know, has not been as good to a lot of people as they would hoped, I guess.
Yeah.
But, so it's all about language, really.
Yeah, so you've written over 40 books.
I've written four books and I've made 36 audios, self-help audios for people that help with all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And
you're one of the top five psychics in America. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, when I was in, when I had my radio show, they used to have votes there and I was voted in the top five psychics and top five healers. But I don't work like most psychics, just talking about, you know, spirits. I can, but I can basically pick up on your past lives and communicate with your soul. And it's all stuff that's in your energy field, really. I'm just super sensitive.
Yeah. Can you pick up anything on me?
Anything on you?
Yeah.
Okay, let me see what I can pick up on you. What's going on with you? Okay, I'm definitely seeing you in Egypt.
Oh, I've always loved Egypt, yes.
Yeah. And I'm seeing you there and you're kind of, you've got one of those head regalia things on like the pharaohs have, and you've got two, well, those lovely, they're like dogs, but they're really slender. I forget what they're called. Jackals.
Yeah.
You've got two jackals with you and you've got two children there, a boy and a girl. And they're about 10, 11 years old. Lots of wealth around you, Joe.
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing that's jumping out at me the most.
I'm absolutely fascinated with Egypt. I watch every program I can on about Egypt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And have you seen any ETs or UFOs?
UFOs. I've seen orbs.
Oh, yeah.
Which came up to the side of the plane when we were flying over South America. Both me and my youngest son, Ty, he must have been about 15 then. We both were looking out the window. He went, "Mum, what the hell is that?" And so I said, "I have no idea, Ty." And then I saw a great UFO in South America as well, in Brazil, which I just watched it fly to the side and right up. It was just amazing. I went, "Oh, my God, I've just seen a UFO." It was so clear. It couldn't have been anything else.
Fantastic.
Yeah, but I've always known there's something else, you know. As a kid, I used to look at the sky and think, how can we be the only ones here? What's going on those other planets? There must be something out there. Always fascinated with the sky.
Yeah. And do you astral project? Have you ever tried that?
No, I've never tried that, but I'd love to.
I'll take you on a journey if you want.
Yes, come on. I'd love that.
No problem. Yeah, I used to do it. You'll laugh at this. A few years ago, I needed a new flooring fitted in my bathroom, and I met this guy who was a tattoo artist who was also in construction. Yeah. And we were talking about astral projection. He said, "I'd love to do it." I said, "I'll tell you what, you come and sort my floor out in my bathroom and I'll take you on a journey."
How fabulous.
And he did. We did a swap and he loved it. He was out. I took him out of his body for an hour.
Oh, how wonderful.
And he really enjoyed it. So, yeah, I can take you on a guided astral travel if you want to try it.
I'd love to try it. I really would. That would be absolutely brilliant. Well, Janine, it's been so lovely to talk to you.
Oh, yeah, you too, Joe. I'm nearly finished. I wanted to mention I'm just finishing my second movie script I've been writing for 2 years.
Oh, fabulous.
All about this stuff. So it's my first book is educational, but my other three are about my out-of-body experiences with aliens, Archangel Michael, planets that can talk,
yeah,
all sorts of stuff. And I've written two movie scripts, so I'm nearly finished the second one and I'm hoping to find someone to help me produce it or take it on. So we'll see what happens. I kind of have a vision of it, of something like Avatar or Valerian, you know, where there's real people in it and then you've got CGI as well, because my second book, it's based on my second book, which is called Saving the World from My Bathtub, because that's where I do all my astral projection. And for anyone who's trying it, when you're in water, yeah, it's a conduit for electricity, and your astral body is electromagnetic field. So it's much easier to astral project when you're lying in a bath.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to go home and have a bath and see if I can do it myself. No, I think I need you. I definitely need you.
Well, it's wise to get some guidance when you're new to it, just to make sure, you know, you're safe. But it's a great thing. I've been doing it my whole life. So what my other three books are about. They're about my out-of-body journeying and interdimensional travel and all this exciting stuff.
Janine, I love talking to you.
Thanks for having me, Jo.
Absolutely brilliant. And we'll keep in touch.
Yeah, let me know when you're free and I'll take you on a trippy trip somewhere.
Okay. That would be fab. I'm ready.
Okay, girl. Nice to talk to you, Jo.
That's our show for today. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please rate us on whatever platform you get your podcast from. It helps people like you find us. Today's show was produced by Mike Hansen for Pod People Productions. Theme music by Mike Hansen and Jamie Allen. Special thanks to Nigel Heath and our narrator, Mike Hansen Sr. If you want to share your stories, we'd love to hear from you. Just email info@podpeopleproductions.co.uk. Subject matter, Alien Nation. Beam me up next time. I'm Jo Wood. And I believe.
Pod People. What makes a stand-up comedian tick? How do they handle heckles, bad gigs? Are they brave or just maladjusted individuals? And what makes them want to do this impossible job in the first place?
Yeah, I honestly thought I couldn't do it. This is going to be sad for everybody. I'm going to die.
I can be a real shark about previews.
2 weeks ago, I was sat on this couch saying to my wife that I think I want to give up.
A guy in the front row, when I told him I was bi, got his ball sack out and said, "Why don't you suck this thing?"
Join me, Nathan Cassidy, stand-up comedian and Bachelor of Science in Psychology, a first from Bristol University, as I delve into the dark recesses of the comedian's psyche in Psychomedy, the new podcast from Pod People Productions. But be warned, it's not always pretty.
But I've been thinking recently about what makes me a stand-up comedian, because I think people
We've all been thinking that.
That's Psychomedy, coming soon to Apple Podcasts, Spotify UK, or wherever you get your podcasts.